The following podcast contains spoilers.
This is the Bunzarelli Show.
All right, it is summer, and that means it's time for us to wrap up the season. Before we even get into it, I want to thank Bob and Kaim and Steve. We've had a hell of a season. It's been great. We did a bunch of cool stuff. We kicked it off with the Spider-Man Far From Home teaser. And then we just kind of went into Moon Knight, Boba Fett. We tried some different stuff. Me and Bob did the keto show, and still going to get into that. By the way, if you want to know, we never get a chance to do a third one, but my last weigh-in was 10 pounds. That was a total in about like 2 months. So we'll be back doing more of that next season. Also, we did a Beatles show, which was really outside the box for what we usually do. So I want to thank Bob and Steve for being a part of that. And then, of course, you know, Kaim's always here to do some Star Wars. You know, we did some Moon Knight. And, of course, Kaim's always ride or die with the comic book stuff. Of course, Obi-Wan. And I want to get into Obi-Wan because that's why we're all here. But episode 6 did not disappoint. This was one hell of a ride and one hell of a... It definitely delivered what we were hoping for. The show picked up where we thought it was going to pick up, Vader on Obi-Wan's trail. Obi-Wan's making that decision. And he's like, you know, hey, I got to break off. I got to save these people. And we were kind of talking about that last episode. We were like, you know, I think Obi-Wan's kind of seeing there's bigger things going on than him and Vader as far as like the future of the galaxy. And I think he's seeing hope and seeing this, the path, kind of like the seeds of the rebellion. And he's seeing Padme's strength in Leia. And it's giving him some, you know, realizing he's not the most important thing going on. So he's willing to sacrifice for them. His part of the story is over, and I think he's accepted that. Not in a grim way. He just, I think he knows that, like, okay, the future is what's important, more important than him. And even when he said to those people on the ship, like, it doesn't matter what happens to me. It's about you guys. And you go back to episode 4, A New Hope, where he sees Leia and Luke run into that corridor, and he's got that you know, that feeling of like, okay, everybody's good, I can relax now, and he puts up his lightsaber, and it's all pretty telling. And a lot of that stuff ties into this. Really liked Roken. I want to see Roken in Andor. I think Roken's, you know, O'Shea Jackson Jr., and maybe it's a little selfish just because I like O'Shea Jackson Jr., but I'm totally happy with him being a mainstay Star Wars character. If he's got a voice and animation, I'm cool with that. A couple quick notes. We got Ben giving Leia a Tala's blaster holster, which is kind of cool. It's almost like the like Han Solo's gun. It's like you got a little history behind it, and it's something neat to know because obviously, like, I think Tala was a lot better of somebody. If Leia had anybody's holster, it's nice to know it's Tala's. Like, you know, I think that character, for as quick as she got to know her, she was developed character, worked out great. Vader versus Obi-Wan. And now Vader's going into that rematch like a lot more prepared. And he's, you know, he straight up gets in that episode 1, like Obi-Wan point, you know, and that Obi-Wan pose. So Vader gets round 1, but Obi-Wan fights back. But literally, Vader had the high ground again, and it paid off at the end. And then what it had was Obi-Wan kind of struggling to dig himself out of the sand. It's almost reminiscent of an old Spider-Man storyline. Well, they actually repaid it in Spider-Man Homecoming, the first one where the vulture buries him in a rock. And he's struggling. He's like, come on, Spidey, come on, Spidey. But they kind of had that scene with Ben, but he starts thinking about the kids. And, like, they're the hope. And that was what gives Obi-Wan the strength. And I think that's where Obi-Wan, I think, like, it's all reminiscent of that New Hope. Like, he's just kind of seeing Luke, and he's been kind of holed up in that desert. But once he gets outside, now he's got outside and seen the bigger picture. He's got, like, a new strength about him. The second fight, Obi-Wan, he's got the rocks flying. He's kind of mastering the Force again. And then they went for the mask. And I'm like, I've seen them do it with they did the scene almost note for note with Ahsoka, and I was fine with it. I'm like, oh, great. They're going to do the Ahsoka thing. Yay. Hooray. Like, it was great. It's exactly what I wanted to see. And they did it, and it was so much deeper this time. It was just like every line. Now, the correlation, because not everybody that watches the shows watched the cartoons, but the correlation was it was still, instead of James Earl Jones and Hayden, it was James Earl Jones and Matt Lantern, who was the animated Anakin Skywalker. And to a lot of people, that is their Anakin Skywalker. but it kind of went to that same, you know, it made you have that, it kind of bridged a gap between the two personalities and the powers behind that scene. A lot of what I did catch and I really enjoyed was what they did digitally with the voices. It was they made that Anakin, it's almost like they used the re-speecher technology to turn Hayden's voice slowly into James Earl. So you get like, I am not your failure, Obi-Wan. Like that quick dip, but then it kind of backs up and it's kind of like a little like it's more Hayden, but a little leaning towards James Earl. Like I feel like they seriously had a knob that's like, let's give him a little more James Earl, a little less. But it was like digitally, audio wise, I mean, I'm a podcaster, so I get audio. I mean, that was really, really cool. The power behind the conversations they were having. So it's like, you know, Obi-Wan's holding on to his guilt. And he's like, I'm sorry, Anakin, for all of it. But, like, Vader's a little different. Like, Vader's just kind of like, as obsessed as he is with destroying Obi-Wan, it's almost like he still has this awkward, like, weird, like the Emperor says later, like, your feelings towards your old master. Like, it's still personal. And it's like, it's some stuff that didn't get worked out. You know, even the things like Padme, he didn't get a chance to work stuff out with or stop and think. But he's been dwelling on this Obi-Wan thing for a while. And as much as he wants to get revenge and he's fixated on destroying him, I think it comes to a point where he's more concerned with destroying like the last peaks of Anakin. And he understands that like that's his last friend. That's Anakin's best friend. So if he's wiping out Anakin, he wants to wipe out any trace of Anakin, which would be Obi-Wan. And they touched upon that with Ahsoka. He had a little moment of weakness where he kind of reached out to Ahsoka. He didn't show any signs of good. He just kind of reached out. And then he's like, okay. And at the end, it was the same thing. Well, I'm taking it down. But it was just really cool just like to see him almost like, yo, Obi-Wan, let me just let you know. Like, this ain't on you, man. This is on me. I did this. I'm just still killing you. So it was really just beautiful scene. Like, I've watched it over and over again on my phone or on TVs and everything. But we got our Ian McDiarmid, Emperor, and he said the things that he needed to say that I thought was going to be, how is these guys, what is going to take it to get Vader off of Obi-Wan's tail? And what it was, he's like, I'm one of your feelings are clear on this. Like, he's saying, like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you know, and even you could kind of see it in the Grand Inquisitor where he's saying, like, you know, we're turning this giant starship to chase the escape pod. Like, we got all the rebels here and you're up there, Obi-Wan. I don't know if he whispered in the Emperor's ear or what, but really, if you look at the big picture, like, if you're anybody in the Empire, would be like, dude, what are you doing? Because Obi-Wan is not a threat to the Empire. Not like Luke was. So we get the scene of Obi-Wan meeting Luke, and we get the Qui-Gon ghost, and that was a big payoff. You know, you would say, like, could they have said more? But no, it was good, because it was like, it was basically like, hey, Obi-Wan, you leveled up. We got a long ways to go. Like, I'm going to teach you how to do this blue ghost. All in all, I was happy with it. Great show. Great season. Big pay. It definitely paid off. I definitely lined everything up to where everybody's supposed to be in episode 4. And I think it actually did a better job of closing up than episode 3 did. It just gave us a little more than we needed. That's all I got to say about Obi-Wan. I love Kaim because Kaim's honest. And, you know, there's always been something where we're kind of like trying to feel each other out in these Marvel TV shows. But on one of our Obi-Wan recordings, we kind of went off topic because I'm like, let's have this conversation. We got to talk this out because, and it's not even just with me and him, it's with fandom in general. I'm like, let's hash out what's going on. So we had a really good conversation about what's going on with the MCU. As far as their current trajectory, I'm going to warn you, there's like some slight Doctor Strange spoilers, basically who's the bad guy. So if you know that, you're good to go. Yeah, so it was a really good conversation. So go ahead and have a listen. I loved Moon Knight. I think you did too. I thought it was great. But even like the last episode was a little bit like okay, standard Marvel fight. But it was okay because looking back, I'm still like, man, Moon Knight was a fun one to watch. Like I enjoyed watching that show because it was different. Going back to the Marvel thing, and I'm kind of tangenting all over the place, but like because we were saying like how I think that's when Marvel's its best because perfect or not, the cool thing about Moon Knight was like it's purposely kind of stayed away
from everything
from the big picture
exactly
and so you weren't you're just locked into that story. Yeah. And even like I'm kind of watching Miss Marvel now. Uh-huh. I just kind of come across, and it's a good fun show. I think it's actually made for a younger audience.
Yeah.
But that's almost in its own little corner. So I'm just watching it like, I think that's the smarter way to do it.
Yeah.
Like if you go, WandaVision was different, right? But I think WandaVision did more for Doctor Strange than Doctor Strange did for WandaVision.
I agree.
Like WandaVision
that
made
was Wanda's movie.
Yeah. But WandaVision made Wanda a very interesting character.
Yes.
But like Doctor Strange didn't really pay it off.
Nope.
And Doctor Strange didn't pay off Spider-Man or Loki. Nope. I didn't feel that. And I don't know if we thought that's what was happening or we were told that was happening, but it just looked like where they were going. And that's kind of the ground that they, like, if you're not going to do it, don't do it. That's okay. But that's, like we're saying, what's the next thing? How do the X-Men coming in? How is this? And it's just, I like it better. Like, just take a, just like that said, Moon Knight. Just make a story. Do Daredevil. Yeah. I only see how Daredevil plays in or how he feels about the snap. Let me just show Daredevil beating up Kingpin again.
Yeah.
I think Marvel needs to go back to story-based versus event-based.
Yes.
Because they were making good, solid movies, and it was an achievement where they made individual characters and made them like, you know, okay, let's bring them together.
And then they
let's
got that separate. Big idea, and they made it.
They had a big idea, and now it's like, but I love once again.
I feel like they feel like they keep having to live up to that, and they're chasing that Infinity War endgame.
Or they're trying to make us think they got the next big thing happening.
Exactly.
And I think it's a dangerous road.
It is.
Because it could lead to
disappointment.
Yeah. Which if we just like Moon Knight, we're watching it like, oh, this is cool. We like this because we're not I think they need to stay away from I personally don't want the next big picture.
I don't either.
I want the X-Men to come in.
Yep.
I don't want
a good movie.
I don't want them to come from another universe. But they're a tricky trick because the whole idea is mutant's supposed to be the whole time. So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. Yeah. And maybe that's the part they're working on. But like, I just want to see new. I think we're almost ready for new X-Men because it's been a good gap since the last X-Men.
Yeah, definitely.
But
especially after Multiverse Madness.
But if you have X-Men and you have like an MCU based X-Men and then you have a chance to do like Apocalypse better.
Yeah.
Stay away from the Phoenix. I don't need to see Phoenix again. Like, I've seen it twice. Yeah. You know, Dark Phoenix. I really don't. Like, maybe. But if it had something to do with it. But it's like,
it just had to be a bigger scale than. I think the problem with Phoenix, because Phoenix Force, the story behind Phoenix Force is great. I think just the problem with it is they approached the same thing twice was, how do I, as Charles Xavier, control the Phoenix Force?
Yeah.
And that's what the story was twice, when we got it with Famke Jensen and when we got it with Sophia Turner.
Yeah.
You know? It was the same story of like, okay, here's a young Jean Grey. How do we control her? How do we keep control of her? Yeah. And they lost control. But there's so much other stuff that was going on with the Phoenix Force as far as celestial adventures and all kind of stuff that you can tap into and stuff.
You know those aliens in the X-Men movie?
The aliens in X-Men. Not the Creed.
I forget what they were called. But the ones from, not Apocalypse, from the Phoenix, the Dark Phoenix movie. Mm-hmm. Like how that blonde girl was the alien.
Yeah.
We didn't prepare for the show, so I don't got any names or anything. But I think that they were going to be Skrulls.
Skrulls, not the Creed. Skrulls, that's what I meant.
Yeah, because Skrulls were like one of those weird things where both of them had rights, kind of like Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, they changed their mind at the end. Point being is, yes, there are storylines that kind of work better with some of the stuff that the MCU has going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like one Phoenix story that's kind of cool is, it's like Avengers versus X-Men. And there's some storyline, I don't know the specifics, I haven't like actually read it, but it was something to the effect of like the Phoenix Force is coming back, but the X-Men want to protect it, but the Avengers don't, and that's like the Avengers versus X-Men kind of thing. Mm. That would be a cool crossover event.
Definitely.
Especially if that's the way of bringing these X-Men in, and then they're fighting like what's left of the Avengers. Yeah. Oh, they're going to do a Thunderbolts. Did you read any of that? That's very recently.
I didn't see that.
So
I saw the Ironheart, but I didn't see anything about Thunderbolts.
Yeah, Thunderbolts. So that's going to be like the ragtag. It's going to be kind of like the B-list. I wouldn't say B-list.
Wait, no, I did see Thunderbolts.
U.S. Agent.
U.S. Agent.
I think
Deadpool,
they're thinking Winter Soldier. I don't know about. I don't think Deadpool. That'd be a cool surprise.
I think I might have saw something else.
But they might be going in the direction of like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Make the kind of dirtier Avengers,
mm-hmm.
which would be something interesting because it'd be like, okay, like just a new story about this team.
Yeah.
And we're not expecting them to be the Avengers, but that'd be a cool little show, or maybe it would be a movie. I forget if it's supposed to be a show or a movie. But things like that are kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like this Thor movie. I don't expect this Thor movie to have any impact on anything.
Yeah.
I'm expecting it to be like a really, but it's Taika Waititi. I think it's going to be a really just cool movie.
Yeah.
But I think
movies kind of usually are.
Yeah.
But movies usually kind of stand alone or within its own universe.
Yeah. And they'll recognize the stuff, but he's out in Asgard or wherever he is. And it's kind of, but that's.
He's a god. He's a kind of above everything.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that because I'm not wondering. And I was looking forward to Doctor Strange too. And I don't want to say, and you know, I just, you know what it really is? If you think about Doctor Strange, the first Doctor Strange was really a lot better.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And they said, because we were like, wow, this is cool. And this was like the novelty of the stuff. I was listening to Kevin Smith and Mark Bernard talk about it. And Mark Bernard said, Kevin Smith is very like, he loves everything.
Yeah.
Like, because he's a super nerd. He's super just happy to see all this stuff on the screen.
Yeah,
and Mark Bernard is like a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves it too, but he'll break
say
it down.
Hey, that's lazy writing.
Yeah,
and that's kind of how I am. I get peeved over stuff like that, where I'm just like, they could have done better.
And what he said was like, well, they both kind of said to the effect was like, Mark Bernard said, you could have taken out that Illuminati scene, and it wouldn't have changed the movie at all.
Anything.
And then Kevin Smith said something to the effect of, I say that to not misquote, but he said something to the effect of, it was like, he's like, it's almost like they made the movie and said, it's the multiverse of madness, and then realize what people were expecting and slap that together real fish and crammed it in. Cause like, we better do, we didn't have any plans of doing any of this stuff.
And that's how it's feel. That's how I felt about, and we're getting completely away from Star Wars.
Oh, I think we hit all the notes with Star Wars.
But that's exactly how I feel about Marvel, is just like, they're solely going for fan service.
Yeah.
They'll start a project, and then us as a community will start talking online, and they'll be like, oh man, we gotta please them. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? We want those box office numbers. We gotta throw this in. And then they just throw stuff in last moment.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really serve any purpose. It still leaves you in the air of like, okay, well, what's next? What's going on?
Yeah.
It was just done to be done.
I think because of the way Doctor Strange went, like I said, I didn't hate it.
I didn't either.
But I was more like, okay. So it was like, what am I waiting for now? And I shouldn't feel like I'm waiting for something when I go see a movie.
Exactly.
You know, and I think, and it's like I said, it's not their fault or our fault. It just kind of happened. And we kind of, it's almost like we kind of need to break away from it on our end.
Yeah.
But on their end, they need to stop.
They
like,
stop
telling us you're doing something.
Trying to feed us to it. Exactly.
Yeah, don't tell us you're doing something if you got nothing.
Exactly. Like, it's kind of this, like, it's this toxic relationship that's going back and forth with Marvel.
Yeah, because it's like you texted me. You said you think you're going to do the X-Men because of this multiverse thing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, but our minds are going there.
Yeah.
People still call in radio shows and I hear them saying it. These thoughts are flying around because they open the door. And I think, and that was the other thing. I thought the multiverse of madness was going to close the multiverse. Mm. I thought that was the point.
Yeah.
Like, we got to stop this mess and fix it.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was more like the multiverse is here.
Yeah.
This is a story about Scarlet Witch trying to play it, but it didn't go away.
Here. It's still nothing. Here. It's still open-ended.
Yeah. And maybe just the Kang thing, but who's left to fight Kang?
I don't know.
Like, who's the new cat, you know, Sam? And then, you know.
And then the fact that it doesn't, I don't know. There's just so many things. Like, I felt they've explained the timeline. They've explained multiverse three different ways that don't line up with each other, between Loki, between Multiverse of Madness, and between Spider-Man. They've explained the timeline three different ways that doesn't coincide.
I think Spider-Man was a better payoff than this Doctor Strange movie was. And I thought it was an awesome Spider-Man movie, because everybody could say they have their favorites.
Yeah.
But it was just like, from beginning to end, it's a good movie. It's smooth.
Yes.
It's not.
And they did their fan service. They gave us Andrew, Toby, and
but they made it work.
And
they made it not seem forced. Because at that point in the movie, when they show up in the later part, I'm like, I kind of like was in my head like, they might not show up, because we never saw anything. Nothing got leaked. So,
and it's perfectly timed because they brought you back in.
Yeah.
Right when you're starting to feel like, okay, the movie's slowing down a little bit, I'm ready for it to end, they bring in.
Yeah. But once again, good story structure worked in good. Made the setup and everything with Tom, but then you bring them in as the bonus instead of like, bringing all like two, it would have been too much the way they look. But the point is,
burned it out.
That was a good use of the multiverse. It's like, hey, we got this chance, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And it was a good ending for Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just
They're just doing weird stuff with Strange.
You know what it really is? I've just kind of lost interest in the multiverse right now.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I feel like I get it.
They've been dragging it out too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It's like,
they've been dragging it out too long. It's like, I'm at this point, like I told you a couple episodes back, it's like literally a carrot on a stick.
Yeah.
To where the whole time, these last three shows and two movies that they've put out, they're just leading this multiverse on a stick. Multiverse on a stick. What are you going to get? What are you going to get? Oh, look, we might do this. We might do that.
Yeah.
And we're just being led along. Here it is, a year, months later, and still, what is a multiverse? What importance does it have? What is it bringing us? What direction are we going with Marvel?
You know, we used to laugh at DC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, look at them. They're, you know, it's a joke. Okay, here's another Batman. Here's another. But they almost, at this point, it's almost like maybe that was almost better.
Yeah, standalone movies.
Sometimes, because if you think about it, it's like the new Batman. Yeah. I saw it. I liked it. The Joker, I saw it. I liked it. Yeah. And it was just, you know, people liked, what's the other thing? They did the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
It was just like, here's some content. We own these properties. We're doing content.
Exactly.
And when Marvel does that, it's cool. Like, here's Moon Knight. Here's some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, and like I said, it's like you're saying, they're leading us along. They don't need to.
They don't.
They don't need to, because we're going to see whatever they put out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more like,
just give us a story.
It's just, you're setting us up for disappointment. Like, mm-hmm. What is the, I don't understand what are we rooting for with this multiverse?
Exactly.
What's the thing we want to happen or we're worried is
going
to happen?
Exactly. What is going on? What is the threat right now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't know what the threat is. We don't know who our heroes are, because we're up in the air of, okay, this hero's dead, this hero's gone, this hero's in time somewhere. You know what I mean? So we don't know who our heroes are right now.
Yeah.
We literally are just up in the air and just following.
And it might be
who
something.
Who are the new leaders? Who's the new squad? Nothing.
Maybe they're going to learn it a lesson, too, that, like, the shows will kind of change their trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, Falcon and Winter Soldier, like, I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of got, not on the same level, but it's almost got the Obi-Wan thing going.
Mm.
Because if you just started the new Captain America movie, you saw Captain America hand Sam the shield.
Yeah.
So it could have been like the next movie, Sam has a shield.
Yeah.
But now you have this TV show that has an interesting conversation of, and then like the trials and tribulations, make it less of like you're exploring something. And whether it was the greatest show in the world, it's on our Disney Plus, we're watching it, we're entertained. And then when it goes to the movie, and that's the right way to do it, where all of a sudden it's like, that movie should have nothing to do with the events of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It should be Falcon is Captain America, Winter Soldier's there, and if you miss that, it's okay, or it'll add to it, but it's like, but just make it an awesome, think about, okay, here's a good one, here's a good example, Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Mm.
Like that, you know, the Steve Rogers, the second Captain America movie. That was a solid movie.
Yeah, it was.
Without
anything
Civil War,
else, just watching it, it was a good movie. Yeah,
it was just Black Widow was the only person, but it was just a solid story. And at the end, it had a big impact because it was like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D. And it was daring stuff, but it was contained and it ended.
Now, I'll tell you something. Now that we're talking about it, I almost feel like Falcon and Winter Soldier are going to be lost. Like,
they might get lost in the shuffle.
Everything seems way too inflated for them now.
Yeah, I think Vision might get lost in the shuffle, like a lot of stuff. And
Vision, okay, even if they found a way to bring Vision back in, power scale, he will fit in. But Sam as Captain America, how can he lead right now with how inflated everything is power scale-wise? We're literally talking about people who can control realities, do magic and all this stuff. Where does he fit in as the next leader? I don't see where they were going with that now.
And I think it's going to be just him being Captain America. I don't know if they're planning on doing Avengers again.
So that's what I'm saying. Again, where are we with this?
Yeah, that's why it's just,
everything is just kind of weird right now.
Which, once again, wouldn't bother us so much, except we're trying to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, we don't watch Star Wars like that.
Nope.
We don't watch Star Wars saying, what is this? We're a little Andor.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, man, I wonder what's the selling point in the show.
Yeah,
we're gonna watch it,
mm-hmm.
and something might hook us, and we're like, oh, now I like this character and that character.
Yeah,
or we just watch it and go, okay, but we don't expect Andor to change anything for us. It's another story being told. It's just you keep comparing the two because
they're owned by the same property.
It's that, and it's like. Because Star Wars was the big movie thing, and then the TV is like just awesome.
Yeah,
and Marvel's like they haven't figured out the TV. That's what we said at first. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I don't think they even figured out the movies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, like, Spider-Man was a sure win, and mm-hmm. it was done good. And yeah. a lot of people, like, people knew, they knew how important that Spider-Man thing was.
Definitely.
And everybody involved, and all these good actors Definitely. And different, like, old, that was like, very ambitious and important.
That was handled with care, for sure. You can tell.
Yeah. And it's Doctor Strange just seemed
careless, like, a little bit. Careless, and it almost seems rushed now looking back at it.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Wanda was supposed to grow at the end of WandaVision. So mm-hmm. why is she back up to the
exactly.
back to, like, what, how did she get go forward and then go back?
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Like, you learn, you just hurt this whole city of people, but
you now you want to go bigger.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I'm just going to take out universe now.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't make any sense because we saw her in a place of mourning. You just lost Vision. You just lost your kids. You just saw how your selfishness affected all these people. Okay. I'm just going to be more selfish.
Yeah. It's and I'm hoping for the best. Like, I'm not hating on it or nothing.
Yeah.
Because even like DC, like, we, and it's true, we rarely do any DC podcast.
Yeah.
And it's not because we don't like them. It's just, it's very,
they're just contained.
And then when and when I see the movies too, mm-hmm. I can take them or leave them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I saw Batman. I was excited to see that one. We mm-hmm. did a Batman show. Hey guys, if you dig what we're doing here, make sure you hit the subscribe button. But we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Once again, I want to thank Bob, Kaim, and Steve for a great season 4. For the Bunzarelli Show, I am Joe Bunzarelli, and we'll see you guys in the fall.